can turn the world on with a smile. You can take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile. Well, it's your girl and you should know it. Each glance and every little movement you show it.
Love is all around.
No need to fake it.
You can never tell.
Why don't you take it? You're gonna make it after all.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Rose. Merry Christmas. That's what it is today, right now, as I'm sitting here in bed in my room with Millie on the bed with me. It's Christmas. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm really high. So let's all enjoy that for a moment, shall we? I know. Smoked a little bit. And I also put some in my scrambled cheesy eggs that I made. So if I start sniffling, it's because I'm spacing out and not hitting the pause button. It's not because I did cocaine as well. So there you go. America hasn't burned to the ground yet. It really does feel like it's just going to happen any day now. It's kind of, you know, when you don't have a job and you live alone and what have yous, it's all too easy to just have CNN constantly going on in the background or Sky News or, you know, whatever. And so I don't do that. But I do have to, like, periodically, like, oh, let's see what's happening on the apocalypse today. Because that's just really, that's how it feels. This isn't my first end times either. You know, like I was, the thing about being raised Southern Baptist in Virginia in the 70s is, you know, we were looking for the signs of the revelations being proven constantly, you know, with like Reverend Sung Young Moon and then Jim Jones, you know, being the like Antichrist and Russia being Antichrist somehow. I don't know, because they don't allow Christianity because Russians are evil. So like I've lived through, you know, looking under every nook and cranny and every rock for signs of the end times, even when they're not there. And you know, I was a teenager, you know, turning into adulthood when Reagan was elected. And, you know, there was the Cold War, which we were very worried was going to suddenly become the nuclear war. I was a baby during the Cuban Missile Crisis, but I don't remember that. I'm sure that didn't. Yeah, that was a random thing to put in there. I'm old. And so, you know, like I remember that anxiety of like, why plan for a future when the world's going to be blown up anyway? You know, and certainly with climate change, that's its own apocalypse, regardless of who's in office. The damage is already done. You know, Alaska was colder than Antarctica this week, so that's great. But this just feels so much different with Trump, and he's not even president yet, and it still feels so frighteningly different. So now it's kind of like when I look on the news and I see updates, like you see stuff in Aleppo going on, which I'm sorry, I always kind of think a little bit Geppetto and a little Pinocchio whenever Aleppo is mentioned. It's so wrong. I'm sorry. But when I see all that, like all the war-torn shit in other countries, I'm like, yeah, it's only a matter of time here. You know, it's only a matter of time. We've always been spoiled thinking, oh, that shit only happens elsewhere. We kind of got a taste with 9/11. We got a little taste of what terrorism feels like. And certainly women have gotten a taste of what terrorism feels like whenever they've wanted to use a women's clinic. Sorry. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is sugar. I would love to enter an asexual, fake lesbian marriage with you. Please, it's always been my dream to live with someone named so sweetly in a city and town so frigid. So, hey, babe, think it over. I have a cat. I'm wearing cat socks. Okay, that's not much of a marriage proposal. It's been a week. It's been a week. I went to the food bank this week. Nothing bad happened except that I was just in a really fucking sad mood. Do I want to get into this? Sure, I'll just take a little detour. I had written to my older brother back in August about just how dire things are for me financially. Because at the time it looked like I was suddenly going to be losing $150 a month of my benefits to pay for healthcare. Which now it looks like that is actually going to happen. And so I'm very, very fucked. And, you know, so I just kind of wrote to him this like really open and honest, vulnerable letter about what the past few years have been like, and not going into gory detail, but saying that I was open to talk about anything. And I didn't hear anything back from him until this week, when I got a generic Happy Holidays card with his little family newsletter in there of about everything awesome going on in his family, including the fact that my niece takes horseback riding lessons, which are super expensive. So that was cool. That was cool. I got that on Tuesday, and then Wednesday I went to the food bank. So, you know, hooray, hooray. And it was super, super, it's been cold here. It's been cold by Portland standards. I know, sugar tits, that it's not cold by Winnipeg standards, but still, it's been very cold by Portland standards. Thank goodness I've gained back the weight that I had so excitedly lost a few months ago. So now I've got a layer of fat to help keep me warm. Because it was like two buses each way. So it's like over 2 hours round trip just spent on the bus, closer to 3 hours. And then when I got there, I ended up waiting for more than an hour and a half, which I've never had to wait that long there before. I've only been a couple of times to this place, but I really like it. And, but anyway, so fucking hour and a half. And I just like, I read for part of the time and then I just like shut down and kind of started rocking back and forth to try to like keep calm. And I'll be honest, some tears fell down my face. I hate being me sometimes. Fucking sucks balls. But it was not all for vain or not or any of those things. Because I got a goddamn 2.5 pound all natural kosher organic turkey breast. So guess who gets to have a Christmas dinner? Me. Except I'm not going to do it today. I'm probably going to wait and do it tomorrow. Or I might wait and do it for New Year's. Because let me tell you, folks, New Year's is where it's at. Fuck Christmas. New Year's is like the wintertime holiday that I take seriously, because it's exciting to go from 1 year to the next. I'm not saying it's good, but exciting. So maybe that'll be my last death sentence meal that I'll make for myself. But actually, no, it's thawing in the fridge now. I'm going to learn how to brine a goddamn turkey. I bought a meat thermometer yesterday, motherfuckers. And it's pretty exciting. And you know, at that food bank experience, the sexually harassing one, where I got the purple rain cake. This time I got some raspberry puree. Seriously, like what the fuck do you do with raspberry puree? I've been watering it down and drinking it, and it is mighty good. It is lip smacking good. So I thought real quick I would take a little time travel backwards to Christmas in 1983. Yeah, before like all of you were born. Oh my God. Where's my rocking chair? Look, this is how I'm not even in a goddamn rocking chair. Like I said, I'm in fucking bed. I'm in bed. So it was 1983. And I had moved back into my mom's basement after she had spent 2 weeks in the psychiatric wing of the local hospital. And I had decided that I didn't want to live next door to my rapist anymore. So that's in a nutshell why I moved back into my mom's basement. Maybe you'd like a little bit more information? Okay. My mom spent 2 weeks in the psych wing of a hospital. What do you want to know about that? I can tell you. And as for living next door to my rapist, here's a funny thing. So, you know, my boyfriend repeatedly raped me when we lived together. Good news, though, I finally threw out all of my photographs of him last night. I know, what took me so long? I'm digressing. So then that's when we were living together. And then an apartment had opened up next door to our place. So I was able to at least move out, but all I could move was next door. So that's what I meant about living next door to my rapist and my mom being in the psych ward. She was there when the final episode of MASH aired, by the way. You know, because you always think back in time, where were you when Kennedy was shot? Where were you when the final episode of MASH aired? I don't remember where I was, but I know my mom I was at her house, actually. That's where I was. That's a whole nother non-Christmas story. And we're talking about Christmas here, 1983. So there we go. I moved back in my mom's basement, and I was going to community college, where I'd actually made like a bunch of new friends, which was like weird. Like suddenly I had this like cluster, like I had this little like posse of weirdo friends there at the community college. Because we were such a minority there. And I was like the only one of us, you know, like in our little group who lived on their own and like not, you know, with parents. Like I was the only one that had moved out because, you know, like I had moved out when I was 17 and into the sex and drug trafficking epicenter of Washington, D.C., while the rest of my friends, you know, stayed home living with mom and dad and not having any responsibilities. And one of those friends was this guy, Chris, who he, like I said, all the friends were like, we were like all weirdos, I guess. I mean, you can call it punk, you can call it goth, you can call it new wave, you can call it, it doesn't fucking matter. We were just like the weirdos. We were the ones that did not give a fuck about the football games played by the Washington Redskins. We thought it was like racist and gross that they were called the Washington Redskins. And we look like weirdos. Most of us did not have natural hair color, among other things. We didn't have tattoos and piercings because, dudes, it was 1983. Come on. Know your history. White people, know your alternative rock history or whatever. Okay. So anyway, one of my friends was... it was this guy, Chris, who he was totally normal looking. Like he had his natural brown hair that he was born into the world in and didn't dress like with any style really whatsoever besides like jeans, t-shirt, and like a biker jacket. You know, like the typical like punk black leather jacket, but it wasn't like he didn't have studs and shit all over it. It was just like a motorcycle jacket. But he was a total fucking weirdo in that he liked to do pranks. I'm going to post a photo of this. It's not a very good photo, but I found it when I was going through my photos yesterday. And it's Chris with a plastic bag on his head, like, you know, like a Ziploc size, like giant plastic bag over his head. He and Don, who we'll get to in a minute, like the two of them would just put plastic bags on their head and just walk around the library browsing at books like it was completely normal to be looking through a plastic bag reading a book. That's just what Chris would do. just on a Wednesday. Another thing that he would do is, as we were all going into the grocery store, he would drop to the ground and start pulling himself by his hands, like not even crawling, but pulling himself by his hands. And then he'd say, "Come on, guys, this isn't funny. Bring back my wheelchair." Oh, it's still funny. Because here's this, like, he's so normal looking that you would never think that he's doing a prank. And he's yelling at me with calico hair, which I haven't gotten to yet. But my hair was calico at the time, and or bright orange, depending on the week. And Don had, like, bleach blonde hair, and he looked like he was in Duran Duran. And he, like, dressed super stylish and everything. He's had shitty musical taste. But he dressed, like, you know, really stylish to the point, like, where if we were at a shopping mall together or whatever, girls literally squealed out loud when they saw him because he was so good looking. He was, like, such a pretty boy. So you have me looking like this complete fucktard. You've Don the pretty boy and Chris pulling himself along the sidewalk by his hands, yelling, "Bring back my wheelchair, guys. This isn't funny." And everybody looking at us is like, we are the biggest assholes in the world. And of course I loved it because, you know, I once went to a party pretending to be blind the entire time and even had, like, the blind walkie cane thing. I'm pretty sure I talked about that. Yes, I'm pretty sure I did. And so, like I said, Don was, like, you know, this blonde, pretty boy, didn't wear any makeup or anything like that, just was naturally very, very pretty. Weirdly enough, he was from Florida, where he had been a wrestler in high school, like, I think, like, lightweight, but he kind of ended up with this weird kind of, not an eating disorder exactly, but super conscientious of eating because of, like, the weird weigh-ins he would have to do of, like, suddenly dropping weight and gaining weight. And he would be one of the people that I would have hair dye and spaghetti parties with because we would bleach our hair and then, you know, whatever color of Manic Panic we could get, you know, we would, like, and it just takes hours to do, at least the way we did it. So we would, like, make spaghetti while the goop sat on our head and play board games. And he also played the drums and he played guitar. And he was also, like, really, really funny in a real over-the-top way, just, like, constantly gesturing and kind of doing, like, dumb voices. I would say maybe 83, he probably enjoyed Howie Mandel. He kind of had that kind of a vibe in a really pretty boy body. I know, it's confusing. It's really confusing. And his sister was a hand model, which is a thing. His sister was a hand model, which is a thing. A thing that does well enough that she had an apartment in Manhattan, which, I mean, granted, early 80s, like, it was expensive, but not insane like it is now. It was still, like, because it was, like, still really sketchy and dangerous there and stuff. It was awesome. But she was a hand model with a sugar daddy. So that was Don, the pretty boy from Florida. And my friend Chris, who looked totally normal and would forget his wheelchair from time to time. And Chris's mom was some kind of volunteer. I don't know, like, I don't know what the fuck her outreach was, what her deal was, but she would provide entertainment at Lorton Penitentiary in Virginia at Christmas time. And Chris was like, "Well, hey, let's put together a band, Don, and let's play the prison at Christmas." And Don's like, "Awesome. Why not?" Because, you know, like, the Cramps had played a prison, or maybe it was a psychiatric ward, and Half Japanese played a prison, or maybe they played the psychiatric ward. I don't know. But bands that we really liked, one of them had played a prison, and certainly Johnny Cash had. We all know that. And I thought, like, it'd be a great photo opportunity. So we were like, fuck yeah. Like, why not go to prison on Christmas? And certainly for me, it was better than staying at home with my family. I'll tell you that much. And, you know, like I said, I'd already lived in the in in the sex and drug trafficking center of Washington, D.C. So I'd already been around, you know, criminals in the pre-penitentiary stage of their life. But also, weirdly enough, or not, weirdly, I guess, compared to the average person, but I guess maybe if you've listened to me enough, you'd go, of course, that's something that Rose did. When I was in high school, you could take out ads. Maybe you still can. Who takes out ads? Who buys magazines? But back then, you could take out ads in rock magazines for whatever. Like if you're looking to form a band, or if you were starting a fan club, or whatever the fuck. And so I, like a totally normal 15 or 16-year-old girl, put a birthday message to Tom Peterson of Cheap Trick in the back of Circus Magazine with my full name and street address. Because that is what a normal high school girl does in the late 70s. Oh my God. So big surprise, I got a couple of letters from dudes in prison looking for pen pals. None of the letters were gross, but they certainly, you know, didn't stop when they found out that I was in high school, and I stopped. But clearly, I really didn't have a lot of fear when it comes to the criminals. I've been around a lot of criminals. So I'm all set to go. Like I'm aware that, okay, these are guys that have not been around the lady form in a while. And I know that it really doesn't matter how unattractive you are. A hole is a hole is a hole, especially in prison. So I tried to butch it up. My version of butching it up as much as I could. I wore my traditional red tartan pants that I wear at Christmas time. Yes, I had red tartan pants that they kind of look like golf pants, but they weren't golf pants, but they came down. They were baggy up top and then tapered down at the ankle, like so 80s, but they weren't like 80s pants. Like these were, like, I'm assuming maybe they were homemade that I got at a thrift store. So I was wearing like my baggy Christmas tartan pants with, you know, long johns underneath for warmth because it was fucking wintertime. And my, either my combat boots or my saddle shoes, you know, neither one more alluring than the other. Maybe saddle shoes, I guess, if you're kind of pervy in a Lolita kind of way. And my hair was short and calico. For those that you don't know, calico is like a calico cat, and you can do that with your hair by starting out with it being black and then leaving bleach on different parts of it for varying lengths of time. So you have a whole range of hue going from yellow to orange to brown to white to black, you know, like calico, like a short calico. Look like I had a dead cat on my head. Awesome. Ugh, what a look. I'm tempted to do that again. Anyway, so I had the short calico hair, and I was scrawny, flat-chested, 105 pounds, like, you know, maximum, and even wearing like a hat. In fact, I know all this because I found a picture of myself from that Christmas day, which I'm also going to post to Twitter. So if you go to Rose Standalone on Twitter, that's me, all one word, at Rose Standalone, and you'll see a picture of Chris the Baghead and me the fox in tartan pants. So we pull up to Lorton Penitentiary, which is out in rural Virginia. And I guess I could have Googled and provided like some more background information, but like, you know, you've got computers. I just remembered that it was just so gray and moist. So like, I don't actually know if it was really raining or snowing or wintry mix. But it was just that kind of gray that just is heavy and falling from the sky in like one form or another. And we get up to the security gate. And of course, the first thing I find out is I have to leave my camera in the car. So Sorry for that big sigh in your ears. Like I said, I'm high. So I couldn't take pictures. So we go inside and my friends are, you know, have to set up their band equipment and stuff. And I help like unload the equipment and stuff. I've spent so much time loading and unloading equipment, let me tell you. And you know, it was a prison. It's kind of like what you've seen on TV. There's a lot of clanging sound. What with the bars and whatnot, and when everything is made of everything else that's not made of metal is made of cement, it, you know, makes an echo chamber, which is really great for music. Really great for music. Oh, the best acoustics for music. And it was in, I guess, their gymnasium, maybe their cafeteria. I don't know. A big fucking cement room. That was so fucking cold that we could see our breath, and all the prisoners were wearing their coats. And of course I'm, you know, like they're set, my friends are setting up their equipment. I've already finished unloading it. So now I'm just standing around and, you know, trying to look inconspicuous as the only white female in a room of a few hundred primarily African-American, all male prisoners. In my red tartan pants, my calico hair, with a hat. I have a hat on. And a baggy sweater, trying to look butch. Oh, my God. I just look like a pretty boy. I just look like, you know, I just look like some chicken hawk. Like, just some, get some sweet, sweet ass. And so, yeah, of course, like, one prisoner man came up beside me and started talking to me about how cold it was in his bunk and about how something about keeping me warm. And he kind of went on from there, but I've kind of spent 30 years like erasing it from my brain. Cause like I said, I was surrounded. So I knew that this would not be the only person who would talk to me just if I was successful in ending that conversation. That's weird. You know, it reminds me, I think I talked about the story where I was in this like car wreck where we were hit by a big rig, like this big truck. That's what a big rig is. And in a snowstorm, like a bunch of years ago. And so everybody was fine. The car was totaled. So the trucker that hit us let me and my friend wait in the cab of his truck while the trucker and the guy, my first ex-husband, was driving. So the two men were off talking, and me and my friend were waiting in the cab of the truck. And he said we could like play with the CB radio. So we got on the CB radio, and boy, truckers are really excited to hear a woman's voice on the CB radio. And immediately, one decided to tell me that he wanted to lick me from top to bottom like an ice cream cone. Yeah, no wonder I don't like men. I find men creepy. I don't know why, whether they're prisoners or truckers. I don't know, men. So anyway, the prisoner was, you know, giving me like a more graphic tongue lashing, if you will. And Chris saw what was going on. Like, I'm sure he could see the disgust all over my face, you know, much like the cum that the prisoner wanted to spray all over my face. So Chris just kind of walked right over, did not need his wheelchair. He walked right over and threw his arm around me and introduced himself as my husband. So that pretty much ended all prisoner chat from then on out for the rest of the time. And they played their set, and the rest of it's uneventful. I know. Sorry. Didn't get super anticlimactic there. Whoo, doggy. But you know, sometimes when you're like a scrawny, weirdo, little white girl going to a prison with a bunch of other weirdo white guys who are playing a show, sometimes like anticlimactic is really what you're hoping for. Really, when you think about it. I didn't have to see anybody using their toilet in their prison cell. I didn't get strip searched. I didn't even get patted down. Thank you very much. I just remember it being so fucking cool. And here's the thing that I've learned about me. I tend to, I will block out things. So I'm sure there's like more that I'm not remembering. Hooray. Let's think about that for a minute. But man, I really wish Chris had kind of done like the wheelchair move then though. Although I'm not really sure how he could have worked it in and pretended to be my husband at the same time, especially when they already saw him like carrying the equipment in. And it's kind of surprising that nobody tried to, that nobody approached Pretty Boy Don. But, you know, he has had enough of men approaching him that he's really good at kind of giving off that vibe straight away of like, I only like pussy. As beautiful as he is, he only likes pussy. So yeah, there you go. I spent a Christmas at a really cold penitentiary, getting offers of love, and being fake married to a man who can walk, and even though he does wear a plastic bag on his head sometimes, and now I'm spending Christmas today doing this, which is a lot warmer, and I'm enjoying it a lot more. I guess that's it. I'm going to figure out how to brine a turkey. I also have to look up how to do my hair pink because it's been a long time and I've forgotten how. And I've decided I'm going to start the new year with pink hair. Not sure if I'm going to end this year with pink hair or wait and do it on New Year's Day. Like I said, New Year's is fucking serious, people. And I'm also going to teach myself to paint, which I think I mentioned that before, but my art supplies actually came in. I got myself some treats for Christmas with, I paid off the credit card debt, although I'm still waiting for this other check thing to happen. I decided to allow myself a few treats, and one of which is a wet palette. That's right. That's right, motherfuckers. I have a wet palette, and I have to learn how to use it. I also have to learn what the fuck one does with gesso. And I have a glue gun now. And I've really been getting into having succulents and cactus inside my apartment. I've got my old original Barbie and Ken dolls for some reason. My mom hung on to them forever for some reason and then passed them on to me, and I unearthed them in my great 2016 purge that I'm doing. And so I'm going to try to figure out a way to like glue gun the bodies together in a way to make like a planter to hold a succulent or cactus of some kind. Because I already have like a baby doll with its head pulled off that I've got a cactus growing out of. Like that's easy. But you can't fit those inside the Barbie and Ken neck holes. What does this have to do with Christmas in prison? I don't know. You decide. That's up to you. America's burning. We never know when it's going to be my last episode. I'm fucking terrified, people. Jesus Christ. How am I going to stop emo eating and lose? Like, I had lost 40 fucking pounds, you assholes. 40 fucking pounds. And I've gained at least 20 of it back. Jesus Christ. It's terrifying. I hate it. I hate it. Merry Christmas. Peace on earth. Goodwill towards men.